Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 21st of January, recording at 9:32 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights on a fairly panicky day here. Asian stock markets were very weak, pretty much across the board, although some, such as Taiwan, which has been in form since the election, that had only a modest gain relative to what we saw in most other places. Europe was massacred. We had gains of 5 to 5.5 to 7%, it looks like, across most of the stock markets. Wall Street was closed for a holiday, although the futures, some of the futures markets were open, including the stock market futures, not the bond market futures, but the S&P index is down close to 5% right now. And so that gives you some idea of what's in store quite possibly tomorrow. And pretty well everything was down except for bonds. Again, I mentioned that the U.S. Treasury's futures were closed, but I can see that gilts and euro bunds were up today. That's hardly surprising against the background of the selling pressure that we saw in Europe. And the dollar was quite strong, as was the yen, and the yen was even stronger than the dollar, and so there's certainly a message there that I will get to in a moment. Metals were hit fairly hard. Gold's down $19 as I speak, brings it back to $864. And crude oil also trading, that's at $88.63, down $1.94. The industrial metals were hit, as were commodities where they were open. An exception might be cocoa. Yes, it looks like cocoa is actually up a little bit. UK cocoa is actually up a little bit here today. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, obviously we're in a panic stage for these markets. And this is climactic activity. I've mentioned that before. This is just further evidence of it. These types of sell-offs usually play themselves out fairly quickly, and because they do drive markets down to significantly lower levels exceedingly quickly, and everybody who is going to panic has a chance to do so, at least anybody who's going to panic at the new depressed levels that are actually taking place. And this selling, as I say, is spread into Asia, so really I don't think there are any markets that have been immune to it at this stage, with inevitably the good being sold as well as the more suspect. So, in other words, the wobbly West has led the way down, but the enterprising East and those resources powerhouses have also seen some selling pressure recently, some quite sharp selling pressure in here today, because in a panicky environment, people sell the good stuff as well as the bad stuff. Now, it'll be very interesting to see what sort of policy response, if any, that we actually get tomorrow, although I find it hard to imagine that the Treasury, the White House, and Treasury being part of the White House, of course, and that the Federal Reserve are going to remain quiet all day, but you never know in this type of situation. But at least they've had the benefit of today's holiday, with the U.S. stock market closed, aside from the futures contracts, to think about and discuss some sort of policy response, which the markets are certainly looking for. Now, again, I just want to emphasize that I know how stressful this is for everyone. Even if people have not been investing in the areas hardest hit, hopefully not. I'm thinking of course, the financials and the building shares, the insurance companies, so on, that have been at the forefront of all this. But I know how stressful it is when you get these kinds of conditions. And the best thing I think to think about at this stage is, well, recall what's happened in the past when we've seen these panics. They do galvanize governments into action. Some people might say, well, they're limited in terms of what they can actually do. And that's true. But they can make the right noises. And also, a lot of the write-downs that we have been seeing coming from the financial community, I have also emphasized, while they are shocking, and while they tend to get people to forecast or to extrapolate, forecasting more and more similar instances, that it is part of the healing process. You have to declare all this stuff, write it all down, and before you can commence the recovery. So my best guess at this stage is that we are well into the climactic phase of this sell-off, and that it will that markets will set themselves up for a pretty sharp bounce, albeit after we go somewhat lower first. Now, moving on to the long-dated government bonds, the more they spike higher, that's bond prices, the more yields go down, the more vulnerable those markets will be to a sudden turnaround, as stock markets actually do steady. Now, if you get the bond yields as we now have below, well below what most people, long-dated bond yields, I'm talking about now US Treasuries, well below what most people feel is the current rate of inflation in the USA. If you take food and energy prices, bonds are going to be a safe haven only while Wall Street, in terms of equity prices, is on the rack. So we're going to almost inevitably see a 1-2, where we get stock markets rebounding. If I were in charge of the plunge protection team, and yes, it does exist, the Fed has the is one of the Fed's tasks is to help to maintain orderly markets, and so it can move in. If I were in charge of that operation, I would let the stops be triggered, as Owen was saying to me earlier today. You'd let them hit the market early on, trigger the stops, and then move in and squeeze the short positions. And my goodness, there are very, very big short positions out there, held by a good many of the traders at the banks that have been at the heart of this problem all along. I certainly don't blame anyone for holding a short position, incidentally. I think the derivatives contracts that we've all been regaling against, the debt derivatives, so on, that's a whole nother story. So it's a dangerous time. It's been a very profitable time for anyone who's been short. I wish I'd held on to my DAX short a little bit longer. It's be rapidly becoming a dangerous time for the shorts, probably more dangerous than for the people who are holding long positions and riding out this scary situation, as I am doing in my long-term investment portfolio. I did chop a lot of, well, I didn't have all that many, but I chopped most of the leveraged trades that I had open here today, just because I thought, well, I want to be able to maneuver, not completely with a clean slate, but with much reduced positions here, especially on seeing precious metals catch that contagion selling here today. Now, it's always hard to predict where these markets are going to steady in a panicky phase. They usually overshoot. We do not have a panicky phase, incidentally, in the precious metals, and I don't think we will, actually. With gold, the support starts to come in at about that 850 level, and there's enough underneath the price, I think, to cushion it. If I was holding gold bullion, I wouldn't be the least bit worried. And what I've always said in the past, that the sell-offs are a buying opportunity in the metals markets, not least in the precious metal markets. And although I sold some today, I'm very much hoping to do that to buy back, hopefully a little bit lower later on this week or next. Now, the US dollar action, people may feel that on the surface this is quite bizarre. We all know that US interest rates are going to be coming down. I think a 50 basis point cut is virtually guaranteed by the end of the month. Pity it was held off until the end of the month, apparently. So why is the dollar rallying against that background? And I think for one simple reason, and that is that the dollar has also been a carry trade currency. And today's story in the markets is mostly one of deleveraging, unwinding, yet more of the leveraged trades, and that's certainly behind the yen's phenomenal strength. That's not due to anything that's going on in Japan in terms of interest rates or the Japanese economy. And the dollar is currently trading against the yen at 105.93 here today. And to put that into perspective, so the dollar is down 93 ticks, or nearly a cent. The euro is down 1.75, 175 ticks, back down to 1.444 against the U.S. dollar. So the yen really has surged here today, and I think that's due entirely to carry trade unwinding. And okay, maybe a few traders are just playing the momentum move, because this is the first day, nor presumably the last, during which that yen carry trade is unwound. Now, what else to mention? I've covered the precious metals, and which I think are still very much in their long-term bull runs and are not going to stay down for very long against the background of this just general unwinding of trades. Ditto the industrial metals, although their recoveries will almost certainly be slower, as I've said before, largely because of the concerns over global GDP growth. My view is that those concerns are greatly exaggerated, and that China's economy, well, what if it sinks back to a growth rate of 9-10%? I don't think it'll be much worse than that. Or India comes down to 8%. I'm sure the governments in those countries would be not at all dissatisfied with that. And that's still a pretty phenomenal growth rate. The growth rates we need to worry about are, of course, in the USA and in Western Europe. Those are the ones that are really weak, and the Japanese growth rate is nothing to write home about either, as you know. So it tends to be the developed economies and the developing economies, particularly Chindia, are looking very, very strong. All sorts of interesting things going on in the mining sector here today. Now, these have been shares have been mostly weak in here today, but we do have Vale, that's the Brazilian company, of course. We have an announcement today that they're looking to take over Xstrata. I'm sure that that interest and that activity has been spurred on by the BHP interest in Rio Tinto, and it makes sense that Vale would want to take over Xstrata. It makes sense that Xstrata would want to be hooked up with one of the what looks like they will end up as one of the two top or the two top dominant mining companies in the world, a Vale consortium and a BHP consortium with Rio Tinto as part of that BHP consortium. That's the way it looks to me. It's actually going, And I don't doubt that they'll find the financing for it, if not immediately, before too very long. So I think that this is a hugely interesting area. And while everybody's worrying about the US economy and Wall Street, even the point out that just repeat what I've said before, that even the US economy has a number of strong sectors, particularly those multinational companies that earn so much of their revenue from sales overseas. Those are the interesting parts of the US economy, not the domestic sector yet. And I know the domestic sector is getting cheaper and cheaper, but it's also the prime candidate for the lengthy convalescence. Ditto in the UK and most of Europe generally. Whereas domestic economy, consumer economy shares in Asia, of course, are an entirely different story, as is the case with banking shares. So, I think that's pretty much it. We'll probably get more drama than we would actually care for here tomorrow. Again, and just to repeat a point, I know how stressful this is. It's stressful for all of us. So I empathize with that and just say that the good news is that it's going to wrap up this sell-off fairly quickly for, at minimum, a good medium-term bounce. But we go a bit lower first. More tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.